Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you'll be familiar with the idea, of course, that all living creatures are the result of evolution, a process that is ongoing, but author Mark Velland contends that it can be applied to far more than that. He's the author of Everything Evolves, Why Evolution Explains More Than We Think, from Proteins to Politics. Mark, good afternoon.
Good morning from here in Canada. It's great to be here. Thanks.
Could you then explain to us how the theory of evolution can be applied to politics?
Essentially, evolution is a process of trial and error whereby, things are tried. So in the case of genetic evolution, mutations occur. They cause changes in organisms and maybe they're to the benefit of those organisms or not. And in systems like cultural systems or economics or politics, essentially, we try different things. We build different kinds of institutions. We use different kinds of policies. The ones that work, and we have to think about what it means to work or not, are the ones that are passed on. We borrow them from elsewhere, and slowly they evolve over time. And the process is really astonishingly similar when you look really at the bare bones of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, if in evolution among creatures, I suppose that, you know, whether it's deemed a success or not is whether that creature survives. So does the same rule apply to politics then?
Politics or anything else. There are many reasons why certain kinds of institutions or practices survive, or not just survive, but spread elsewhere. So, many kinds of cultural practice, might arise in one place and then spread. They're adopted by other places because they're seen as beneficial for at least some of the people either instituting them or for the society as a whole. But it's exactly the same. It's an idea is differential success. Some kinds of practice or some kinds of, biological organism have greater success, spread more than others. And those are the ones that we see today.
Yeah. Though, yeah, because I would imagine, Joe, in politics, it's highly debatable what succeed means, and that politicians all the time bring in policies that sound like they're great, but actually don't do anything, but they still get reelected. So does that mean success in politics in those evolutionary terms?
So for success, we have all this sort of anthropogenic baggage that we apply to it. We can think of all kinds of things that we don't think work. The same way that biological evolution is under severe constraints. So if you start with a fruit fly, you might think, oh, the best thing to be next would be an elephant. And you just can't do that. There's strong inertia in what can happen next, and especially in the realm of politics. And I should say politics is not my own area of expertise. Whether something works, in the colloquial sense of that term, depends on your perspective, obviously. But overall, absolutely the same. We might say something succeeds if it spreads and if it survives and if it keeps going. We have a very short term perspective when we think in politics about what works or not. But in the long term, that is what we expect.
And in politics, luck is often a good luck or bad luck can often be a huge factor. Does that same thing apply in nature? Can a certain species just be a lucky species or an unlucky species?
Absolutely. There's a concept of drift or genetic drift. Certain kinds of variants, especially when you're in a very small system. So you think of a very small oceanic island, where there's very few individual plants or animals of any given species. A storm can come through and eliminate one of them, and that one of them might have been the better suited to those conditions, and it leaves the others to evolve and dominate that place. And that's one of the reasons that we see, for example, so many very unusual forms of life, miniature or gigantic forms of animals or seeds. Random events, stochasticity can play a huge role in evolution of all kinds.
Yeah. And would that same logic apply then to technology? We're often told there are technological breakthroughs that would be there's a huge leap rather than small incremental changes.
Oh, what we perceive as huge technological breakthroughs are often indeed very incremental changes. So people think of the iPhone as you know, revolutionary, having, you know, been a product that was without precedent, but really every component of the iPhone, even, you know, the whole device with a touch screen and communications, you know, that design had been around for a very long time. And so really sometimes an incremental change can make a big difference. The actual production of these technological devices or whatever it is, can absolutely, it really is often very incremental, you know, building small steps over time.
So you can draw a line then from Alexander Graham Bell all the way up to the iPhone then.
Oh, absolutely. There's a very incremental series of steps there, and many of the components of a modern cell phone, you know, have their own evolution. You know, the idea of a touch screen, a geographic positioning system inside, microprocessors, all of those evolved via a very you know, incremental series of steps to get us to the products that we see today. And you can see it in much more simple things. I use typewriters as an example in the book, where we can also think of the modern, you know, distribution of keys on a typewriter as not being very adaptive. You know, the order of, we call it the QWERTY keyboard, QWERTY, is up in the top left there. But once something becomes anchored, it's actually very hard to displace. But, you know, simple and complex technologies all evolved via a very similar kind of process.
Mark, thanks very much for speaking with us today. Mark Velland is the author of Everything Evolves: Why Evolution Explains More Than We Think. Though one texter says, if political evolution is real, explain Trump and Boris Johnson.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.